And now Horn. Stewart wants it. And looks for Amakachi!
It's a grand old team to play for. It's a grand old team to support. And if you know your history, it's enough to make your heart go whoa.
Hello there and welcome back to the Grand Old Team podcast. I'm Adam Partington and today in this special episode I'm talking to David Weir. As most of you will remember, David played over 300 times for Everton and captained the side under two different managers in the form of Walter Smith and David Moyes, and I am absolutely over the moon to have him on the line now. David, welcome to the Grand Old Team podcast. Thank you for speaking to us. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. My pleasure. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, no, it's as I was just saying there, you know, before I hit record, it's always a pleasure to speak to players who play for the club, especially people like yourself who made a big impact on the club. You know, I'm a 90s kid, David, so obviously remember your entire time at the club as well into the noughties. And yeah, no, it's great, but I believe you're the assistant manager at Notts Forest now. I bet it was pretty cold out on the training ground today, mate, wasn't it, this morning?
It was a bit, to be honest, yeah. It's probably the coldest it's been, and it's kind of dark when you get in and dark when you leave now, so it's I definitely prefer the summer training sessions.
I bet you do. I think one of the burning questions that Evertonians will want me to ask is about Kieran Dow. Obviously, you've got him at Notts Forest. How's he doing, David?
He's doing really well. I think he's learning on the job. You know, we've kind of gave him more and more football as he's got used to us and got used to the demands. And you know, he's enjoying it. He's getting better and better. He's learning, you know, about us, about how we play. He's learning about the league, and I think he's learning a bit about himself as well. So, you know, we've really enjoyed having him here. I think it's been great for him. It'll be great for Everton long term. And you know, I think he's getting a good loan experience, and the loan experiences are difficult because sometimes some of the kids go out and they, you know, it's maybe not the ideal club for them. They don't get as much football they would have liked, and you know, they're away from home and away from their environment. It's a challenge. So, you know, this one so far has been really good, and great credit to Kieran for that, and also to Everton for, you know, for giving him to us and trusting us with him.
I know, probably as a former professional yourself, you know, you don't want to talk lads up at too much of a young age, but I think as you know, I will never speak on behalf of all the fan base, but from the conversations I have with Evertonians, you know, we're all really excited to see a bit more of him. Is that justified? You know, can we be excited about the future for Kieran? What do you think he needs to do at the moment to maybe get to a level where he can come back and make an impact?
I think he's just got to keep improving. You know, I think he's improved in the time he's been here. I think, you know, what he can do with the ball, you know, it's really obvious to see. He always affects the game. He's always either creating something or trying to score and, you know, slipping people in and making things happen at the, you know, at the top end of the pitch, and maybe just, you know, the other stuff, the, you know, the dirty jobs is where he can improve, and he is improving. And I think, you know, it'd be the all-round midfield player, which undoubtedly he can, then he just needs to tidy up on, you know, some of these aspects. And a lot of that is learned in-game. You know, because the players tell him, we as coaches tell him, you know, what he's doing well and what he can work on. But, you know, as you know and everybody else knows, the best sort of lessons and the best sort of things you learn are often in the heat of the moment. So, you know, he's reacted really positively and, you know, handled all the challenges that have came his way so far.
So, I believe you your son made his debut for Wigan the other night, and he's become the youngest player in Wigan's history. You must be a pretty proud dad at the moment, Dave.
Yeah, that was great for him. You know, Wigan played a really young team, which, you know, credit to the manager for doing that. That was, you know, it's not easy to do that and played a really young team. My lad was lucky enough to get on, so that was great for him. It was a great experience. He really enjoyed it, but, you know, he's only a kid. He's only a baby, so he's still got a long way to go. But it was a great experience. And, you know, he really enjoyed it, and, you know, hopefully he can push on and get better and better, and, you know, and hopefully keep improving.
Where does he play?
He plays sort of midfield type player, I would say. Different to his dad.
Oh yeah, just slightly. So on to you then. Obviously, you signed for Everton back in 1999, a long time ago now. But what can you remember about your first impressions of Everton, David? Like, I'm intrigued to know what attracted you to the club.
I just think historically Everton's a fantastic football club. Obviously, I came down. Everton weren't at the best of times. It was a relegation battle, and times were hard. And, that had been the case for a few years, really, in the last sort of 3 or 4 years prior to me coming down. So, I was coming down to manager, and you and Walter Smith, who had been very successful in Scotland, who knew me. So it was a great opportunity for me to come and play in England, which I was ready to do and wanted to do. And Everton was an ideal fit because I knew the manager, I knew the club had a great history. It was, one of the big clubs in England, and and there was definitely room to improve football wise I think for the football club, so it was an exciting challenge and an exciting prospect, and it was the perfect club for me at the right time.
So when you first arrived on your first day after you'd signed, David, who did you warm to, who made you feel the most welcome?
I think everybody was welcoming. Everton's always been that kind of football club, and it was Belfield when I came down, so that was a very traditional, very sort of old school training ground that had been around. Norman on the gate used to walk in or drive in, and Norman would be at the gate and he'd be greeting you. As soon as you got in, the Sue on the desk, and you got to know everybody really quickly. The players were all fantastic. I knew some of the lads from beforehand, from Alex Cleland was here, and various people that from playing against them or playing with them. So John Collins was also there, who I knew from the international team. So that, you always, in football, it's such a village that invariably someone when you turn up at a place, and that allied to the people who were there, who were very welcome and made it a really easy transition.
Okay, so obviously for Grand Old Team, we have, it's a big website, but we've got the forum on there, and I wanted to get some questions from other Evertonians, and we'll start with this one, which is a good one, David. This is from EFC78, who says, how did the Merseyside Derby compare to the Old Firm?
Well, obviously, the Merseyside Derby was my first taste of the really big derby. I'd played in Hearts, Hibs up in Scotland, which were really competitive, but I felt, Liverpool Everton was a different level to that. But if I'm being really honest, the Glasgow one probably was a level up again. Just, I don't know if it's because I was probably brought up in it, and I was, a bit more partisan. I'm obviously a Rangers supporter, so, growing up in that environment, and how it affects all your family and your friends and stuff, and then actually playing in it, you understand probably more so the ramifications of it. But Everton Liverpool's it's one of the top derbies in the world. It's just probably, in my opinion, the Glasgow one has made the number one.
What is it about the Merseyside derby though, in terms of the amount of red cards that it's had? I mean, you were sent off in a derby. What is it about the Merseyside derby that brings that out in professional footballers?
I just think you get, as much as you try not to, you get caught up in the emotion of it. You know what it means to people. You know how it's going to affect you the next days, weeks, and longer than that if the result doesn't go your way. So you're just that desperate to win and that desperate to do well that, sometimes your emotions boil over and you try and keep it in check. But sometimes it's harder, easier said than done, really.
No, I can imagine. Who was, in terms of from their side, the Liverpool side, who was like the toughest lad that you had to play against, who'd really, really kind of cause you issues in terms of the ability they had and the physicality?
I think Gerrard was obviously the one. He always seemed to rise to the challenge in the derby games, and he's obviously a top player, and he really enjoyed the derbies. That was really obvious to see when he played in them. He raised his game, and as I said earlier, being local and the ramifications that go with that, I think, he probably was the one player in the derby, sort of in my era, that I played in that, was the most difficult opponent, and really took the game by the scruff of the neck.
So before the last derby, we had a conversation with Carragher, believe it or not. Went to Anfield, which was tough, David, going into there, and I had to have a little chat with Carragher. He was good as gold, to be fair, but one thing he said was that because I was asking him about why Everton has suffered historically, well, in recent times, against Liverpool. Yeah. And he said that he sometimes felt that with the lads, I mean, this is probably a little bit later on from your time, but it does stray into it. You know, he felt that sometimes, you know, the Everton lads weren't as up for it, so to speak. You know, they weren't as aggressive sometimes. He'd be in the lineup shaking hands with some of the lads, and, you know, and some, you know, they say, "Hi, Jamie," and, you know, and he didn't quite understand that. Does that resonate with you, or was that does that just sound completely alien?
No, that sounds alien, to be honest. I never really had that feeling. I know personally that was never, it was never in my mind to be friends or to be, you know, for it to be a friendly game. It was that certainly wasn't the case. I don't really agree with that in my time. I think, you know, if I'm being really honest, that Liverpool probably had slightly better players the majority of the time because they were spending more money. And, you know, that allied to the good local ones. They had Jamie, obviously, and Steven Gerrard and players like that, that, you know, they had probably better teams and better players, if I'm being really honest. Me being a part of, obviously, the Everton one, so I think that was a big factor. I'm not sure that, you know, they wanted it anymore, or they sort of kind of had more emotion involved. I don't think that was the case, and, you know, that's a big criticism to throw at anyone, and I wouldn't like to be involved in any team like that, and I never felt like that was the case.
No, to be fair, he was probably just winding us up. you know what he's like. So Groucho, who's the lad from the podcast who does the podcast with me, he wanted to know about a game that you scored in, which is a really happy Everton memory for me. It's the game against Newcastle when we basically confirmed fourth. Yeah. I think we were like a point off, and you scored before Cahill did. What can you remember about that game, David? Or is this like a silly question for me to ask? The games just kind of, are they all a bit hazy now in your mind?
No, I think you remember some better than others, and I certainly remember that. You know, obviously scoring helps because I didn't score that many, but, you know, the magnitude of the game and that season in particular, which was a great season, you know, managing to finish above Liverpool, managing to qualify for the Champions League, and just had a really successful season for us at that time, punching above our weight. And, you know, that goal, that game was the culmination of that sort of, as you said, confirmed where we were going to finish, and, you know, really put the icing on the cake. What was a really successful season. So yeah, I remember it. I remember the goal, and I remember the game. I remember Tim scoring later on, and obviously it was a rocking Goodison that day. And, you know, memories like that, you know, they don't go away.
Was it the fact that squad that season, David, was quite small, and that you know you were galvanised by that? Because, you know, you think back to the summer of that season after we'd lost, Wayne had obviously gone off to United or was on the brink of leaving for United, and a lot of the pundits were tipping Everton to go down in that season. So what was it from your perspective as a player that you know, brung the best out of the group?
I think sometimes it's quite hard to quantify. I think your point about it being a smaller squad and everybody knowing their role and everyone having a pathway towards the team, there wasn't a lot of changes. You know, the team was pretty constant. I think there was good relationships in the team, myself and Stubbsy and Lee and Gravison beyond that. And Marcus Bent played a lot of football. And, you know, there's some good football players who are probably at the peak of their careers. And, you know, it just kind of gelled. And, you know, we're fortunate to have, you know, a group that, you know, liked each other and got on well together. And, you know, that allied to, you know, a level of ability, I think it. You know, it just kind of fell in place, and we didn't concede a lot of goals, we didn't score a lot of goals, but we often found a way to win games, but which is a really good habit.
Yeah. Another question from the forum. It's Ivo, I think. He says, have you still got your boots? And if so, what are you doing next Saturday? Which is obviously asked in jest, but it's a compliment. But on a serious note, I know you're obviously involved in Notts Forest very heavily at the moment, so you probably don't get to see too much of Everton. But from the bits that you may have seen, when you think about from a defensive perspective, what do you think the issue is at the moment, or have you not seen enough?
No, I have seen bits on TV, obviously. I haven't seen Everton in the flesh this season, unfortunately, because the Championship's a, you know, it's a crazy league. There's a lot of games going on, so I've seen a lot on TV, and I think, you know, as always, that I don't think you can single out one part of the team as being at fault for anything in particular. I think the balance of the team is the most important thing. Everton have had a lot of changes. They made a lot of changes in the summer. They brought players in and players gone out, and in various positions in the team. I think it just takes time for a team to settle down, and obviously the manager's changed now, and there'll be other changes. So just that constant state of flux, you know, it's really hard to, you know, to settle down as a team, and I think it takes time. And you know, Everton have had a really tough start to the season, which sometimes goes unnoticed, and obviously lost Lukaku's goals, which, you know, was a big part of the team as well. So I think there's been a lot of factors that have made it a really awkward start to the season for Everton. But, you know, I think it's 12 games in the Premier League is, so 25-30% of the season. So there's still a long way to go, and obviously Everton aren't where they want to be or would like them to be, but, you know, there's still plenty of time for, you know, Everton to redress that and get back in a position whereby, you know, they're challenging, and, you know, the European thing will come to an end, which will help. You know, there'll be less games, the players can focus entirely on the league. So I think there's been a lot of factors that have made it a difficult start to the season rather than it being one individual area of the team.
So just on the European campaign, I recall when we went on and finished fourth, and then were unfortunate with regards to the Villarreal game. What can you remember about that game, and did you sense that night that you were maybe, you know, the team was a little bit hard done to in terms of the decision? Did you sense any wrongdoing? How'd you kind of look back on that?
The first thing I remember about it is when the draw was made, we were in the canteen, it was at Belfield at the time. I remember, you know, Villarreal, we were drawn to Villarreal, which we probably didn't know a great deal about, but Mikel Arteta was there at the time, and he says that was the worst possible draw we could have had. Mm. You know, in terms of his thoughts and the quality of them, and when we played them, you know, that was reaffirmed, because we had some really top players like Kelme and Forlan, you know, people like that who were at the top of their game, at the peak of their careers, and were really talented players playing in a really good team. So, in my opinion, we gave a good account of ourselves over two games, you know, and it was very fine margins in regards to who would go through and what was a really difficult tie, and obviously Duncan's header, which got disallowed, and, you know, wrongly so in all our eyes, but that was the fine line that would have been the straw that broke the camel's back, and potentially would have got us an opportunity to get through in the group stages, which would have been a real great experience for everyone. But, you know, it wasn't to be, and like all kind of football matches, they turn on, you know, and little instances within the game, and that one obviously went against us.
Yeah, from a supporter's perspective, David, it's just so it's just so Everton that, you know, that we do all that hard work to get into fourth place, which doesn't come along that often, and then, you know, the fact we drew Villarreal, what, as you said there, Arteta said it himself, you know, maybe the toughest draw that we could have had, and then to go out that way, it was just really, really painful, and I can only imagine that was intensified for you lads as well, actually having to go through it physically and putting your all in as you did over the two legs. It must have been really tough. Now, I know we're short on time, but I did want to ask you about David Moyes, because obviously you were under him for quite some time at Everton after Walter left. He's gone to West Ham now. Do you think that he can rebuild his reputation after a few tough jobs?
I hope so. You know, I think it's, you know, I think he's been quoted himself as saying that's his number one task, is to, you know, to rebuild that reputation that he, you know, over sort of 10, 11 years at Goodison, I think, and his time at Preston beforehand, he's kind of, you know, it's not gone as well for him in his last couple of jobs, so he'll be desperate to do that. You know, he's one of the most experienced managers that the Premier League's ever had, you know, successful in respect to what he's done at clubs and, you know, the stability that he's brought to them. And, you know, he's a great coach. He's got a lot of experience and he's got a lot of knowledge, and, you know, I think he's a great appointment. And who knows, you know, it's, football now is very temporary and you don't get a lot of time to actually install what you want to install and, you know, and get the sort of backing in regards to time that you sometimes need to put your stamp on the squad and get your players in, and, you know, sometimes get players out that aren't going to work for you. So it's really difficult now to make an impact short term and, you know, and really turn things around. But what I would say is they've got a good squad of players and they're in a false position, so he's got a great opportunity to make it better quickly.
Yeah. Have you got any thoughts on the vacant Everton manager's job at the moment? Do you got somebody in mind that you think would be good to take it? Obviously, I assume you know David Unsworth pretty well, obviously.
I do, and it's great for Unsworth to get an opportunity, you know, to, I'm not sure how long it's going to last. I'm sure, you know, the chairman, the owner have got their beliefs on that and their thoughts on that. And it's a great experience for him, no matter how long it lasts. And you know, I'm sure he'll enjoy that, and I'm sure he'll put his heart and soul in it. And he's got a good backup, you know, in John Ebrill and Duncan, who I know is working really hard behind the scenes and helping out with, you know, whoever's in charge. He always tries to do the best he can for the club. So there's good people there, and, you know, whether they decide to bring in, you know, a manager from outside who will, you know, be there for the longer term, or continue with David for the shorter term, who knows? But, you know, it's very early in the season still, and I think, in my mind, they've got to make an appointment that's going to be, you know, there for a period of time, and, you know, give a bit of stability to the club, because you can't be changing managers every year, every 18 months. That's just not conducive to success.
No, yeah, I think you're dead right, and that's the thing. And I think there's an element within the fan base who kind of wants the club to take the time a little bit. We got the win before the international break, which took a little bit of the pressure off, and now it's obviously trying to identify the right guy moving forward. But you did a little bit of the management thing for a little while with Sheffield United. Have you got any more aspirations to continue to manage then, David, in the future?
I wouldn't say I've got aspirations. It's a really tough job, that's what I'd say. I'm, you know, being assistant manager for probably 3-4 years now at some really good clubs, I've had some really good experiences, and I enjoy working with, you know, Matt Warburton and Frank Parland, who's a sporting director, as well as we have done. So, you know, I'm enjoying doing that at the time, and who knows, you know, I'm definitely learning. I'm definitely, you know, as you always are in football, and you know, trying to make myself and the team better. So I would never say never, but, you know, I'm also conscious of that it's a really difficult job, and as I said earlier, you don't get a lot of time to actually turn things around and put your stamp on it, and try and, you know, have a team together that's a fair reflection of what you want it to do.
Always makes me wonder why anybody would want to do it, to be honest with you. It's like refereeing and being a football manager, two jobs that I've got no idea why anybody would want to do, or being a policeman. But anyway, so just one final question, David, before you go. Do you still keep in contact with any of the lads that you played with at Everton? Who was kind of your best bud from that era?
I still keep in contact with a lot of them, to be honest. I speak to Lee Carsley regularly, Kev Coban, Duncan, still speak to Duncan, Gary Naismith, still see Alan Stubbs,
yeah,
you know, now and again. And, you know, so that kind of team that we had success with, they were probably, that's how things go, you know, that's your best memories and the people you keep in touch with. So, but it's always nice, you know, in the football world, as I said earlier as well, you're always bumping into people and seeing people and, you know, that you played with and you played against. So, you know, that's a nice thing. But going back to Christian's always special. It's not very often I get the chance, but, you know, when I do, it's always, you know, it's always great memories when you get back there and you see some familiar faces and brings back a lot of good memories.
Yeah, and I bet you don't ever have to buy a pint, do you, when you come back? If you're at the game and I see you, I will most definitely buy you a quick pint for doing this, David. Really appreciate you speaking to us and giving your time up on a Monday afternoon, and hopefully we'll do it again sometime. But yeah, thanks very much for speaking to the Grand Old Team podcast.
No problem, my pleasure. Good luck.
So thank you for listening to the Grand Old Team podcast. Make sure that you subscribe to our channel if you haven't yet. And let us know if you enjoy listening, because it's always good to get some feedback. You can get me on Twitter at @PartAdam. And remember to head over to the site and sign up to the forum on www.grandoldteam.com. Thank you again for listening. Bye-bye.
History. It's enough to make your heart go, whoa.